This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hello and welcome to Smart TV. I'm Kellyanne Taylor and I'm in the studio with the delightful resident columnist for Radio Times, Caroline Frost.
Hello.
We have a, how would you describe this week in telly? Good? Bad,
very good.
Weak?
I think good.
Okay.
Well, my choices are good. Oh, fighting words.
Fighting words, a little pressure there. Okay. What do we have to kick us off?
Right. I have in the past been somewhat critical of Beyond Paradise. Yes, I do have my flaws, but I have to say this second series, they've really come into their own. Old Humphrey and Martha, who, as we know, departed from Death in Paradise and shacked up in a fictional town, fishing village in Devon, Shipton Abbott. And I think they have got the nation in their hearts. I mean, they get married in this last episode, but will Humphrey be dissuaded and distracted by a case? We don't know. We wait to see. But I think that there's something really quite sweet. The crime is almost incidental in a way that it's very central in Death in Paradise. But in Beyond Paradise, you get much more of the family interactions. You get their big chats at the dinner table with Humphrey's mother-in-law. You get their struggle to adopt. You've got her mother's dating experiences as an older lady. There's an awful lot going on and it really is quite charming. I guess the question is, would it be so popular if Doc Martin still existed? Possibly not. And we definitely know it's the love child of Doc Martin, but also Midsummer Murders and all these kind of quaint crime-solving gentle dramas. You know, all the crimes always get solved within 58 minutes. So life is restored to its equilibrium, but it really is very sweet and extremely picturesque. So they have a fan in me and they're coming to an end for the second season, but no doubt there will be more. And that finishes on Friday night, 9 p.m. BBC One.
And is it still as enjoyable without that backdrop?
Yes, that's what I mean. It's surprisingly so. I mean, yes, the Death in Paradise backdrop is spectacular. Mm. It's very much a star of the show, along with Sir
Why
Woon.
Did they move it?
Well, it's a spin-off. It's not only, but also it's in total recognition of how successful it's been. Chris Marshall came home. He wanted to give up the gig. He came home from the Caribbean. Then Ardal O'Hanlon took over. Then we've had Ralph Little, and we don't know who is going to be the next detective in the Caribbean. It's as anticipated as Doctor Who. But in the meantime, Chris Marshall was persuaded to pick up the role again in Devon, a bit nearer home, I guess. So Everyone's a winner.
Imagine getting sick of the Caribbean.
I know, right?
I'd still be out there sunning. What's next?
I have another drama. Now, I don't normally pick on Walter Presents because I don't know why. It's been running along for so many years so successfully, I guess I kind of take it for granted. I mean, Water Presents has been a phenomenal success story for initial investors, Channel 4. It was Walter Uzzolino and his team. And Walter, who I know personally, does sit and watch through an awful lot of foreign dross so that we get the best things. I mean, Deutschland 83 was the very first show that came along from Walter Presents, and it has maintained those high standards. So I will be more attentive to Walter Presents, I think, in future weeks. However, this week I'm going to bring you Morten, which is a Norwegian political thriller. As you know, love a political thriller.
Yes.
So this is really one for people who enjoyed Borgen back in the day, Denmark's greatest export. Yes, I will take on The Bridge and also The Killing in that discussion. But this is set in Norway. This is about an upcoming politician, and he's got family intrigue. He's got the possibility of a crime from the past and the potential that he is running for high office. Very glamorous, very charismatic, and very open to blackmail. So that is on Water Presents, and that will be kicking off on Friday, available on the Water Presents platform.
I have a public service announcement, and I'm going to preface my choice with that because this isn't something that I personally will be tuning in for, but it is in its 17th series, so we do have to question.
What can it be?
What is it about this show that keeps people coming back for more?
Mm.
This is Britain's Got Talent. It's coming back to ITV1, 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. So it's a great slot that it's got. I don't think there's anything more to say other than it's back. We've got a head judge, Simon Cowell, of course, Alicia Dixon, Amanda Holden, and of course, Bruno from Strictly, as well as the pair, Anton Deck, who seem to be absolutely everywhere. They've maintained their level of fame, despite the fact that they're, no offence, often their jokes are absolutely awful.
Did you see them sign off from Takeaway?
No, I didn't.
My goodness. So that was last weekend. And they have signed off from Takeaway after 20 years. They did an all bells, all whistles live sing-along of Kool and the Gang's Celebration. They had a load of returning stars, Simon Cowell, Rylan, all in the mix. But it was incredibly ambitious. So there was all this choreography. They had scenes outside in Television Centre. They had scenes inside the studio. And you could just tell the ambition and the preparation that had gone into it. And this is what keeps them going. Your question, why do Anton Deck still get the hits? It's because of the intense work ethic. I've spoken to so many people who've worked with them, and they say they are there at 9 a.m. I mean, yes, they are the luckiest men in show business, but they know they are. And that's why they keep working so hard. So I guess they will bring their unique superpower, their friendship, their camaraderie to Britain's Got Talent. And they keep these shows going, similar to I'm a Celebrity. I don't think these shows would be the successes they are without those two in the middle.
I think you're absolutely right. So that's Britain's Got Talent, 7:30 p.m, ITV1, Saturday.
Now, this is more of a celebration of all things BBC Two. My column this week is about the 60th birthday of that channel, which, as I explained in the column, it's always meant to be that people watch in fewer numbers, in smaller numbers on BBC Two than they do on BBC One. Now, obviously, that means that things like Line of Duty, as soon as they start becoming successful, they get bumped onto the main channel. But what it also means is you get these gems that would never have landed anywhere else, the likes of Fawlty Towers and The Office and Top Gear, which Jeremy Clarkson refused to bump onto BBC One. So it really is that channel that has a little bit of everything. I mean, I think that the shine has gone off it because of the cuts. Like every other channel, it has suffered and it's become a bit mainstream and it's borrowed a lot from BBC Four. And I think in an ideal world, there is a place for both those channels. But BBC Two, you can't argue with the wildlife, the natural history. David Attenborough was only the second controller, and he really did turn that channel into the force for culture, for arts, for so many things that it has been all those years. So it celebrates all of that on Saturday night. I mean, there's a list of comedies that it could have run, but from that huge list, it's chosen Butterflies, The Likely Lads, Open All Hours, Miranda. Three out of four of them are good. And then we've also got at 8:25 p.m, there is a Songs on BBC Two, because it's also been traditionally the home of music. And so a bunch of very, very eclectic artists will be celebrated. So this is just a chance to remind ourselves what a wonderful thing we have, lest we take it for granted.
Amazing. Well, I have a radio recommendation, as per some listeners' request, that we occasionally talk about what is on the radio. This is, I guess, another public service announcement,
but full of them.
One that I am very fond of. So Ramesh Ranganathan is taking over Claudia Winkleman's slot on Radio 2 on Saturday at 10 a.m. I'm really looking forward to this move. I love Claudia Winkleman, love her radio show, think she has an absolute way of making you feel as if she is sat behind you as you're doing your washing up, as you're making your breakfast, as you're lounging around the kitchen on a Saturday morning. She absolutely makes you feel like she is talking to you and you alone. But I think Ramesh will be brilliant in this slot. Having spoken to him for the Radio Times podcast, yes, that episode is available to listen to now.
Seamless.
He is hilarious. He's full of wit. He's full of comedy, but he's also really good at spinning yarn. So I am very excited for this.
Grand.
So that will be Ramesh Ranganathan taking over Radio 2 Saturday, 10 a.m.
Your favourite part of the show?
Film
of the week.
Film of the week.
Go on.
Well, this is for listeners. I did give you a recommendation of this film a few months ago, but it was in the cinema, and now it is coming to home screens and you can rent and buy it. This is Dune Part 2, starring Timothy Chalamet. It is the sci-fi of the year. It's got an all-star cast, so we've got Florence Pugh, Zendaya, Austin Butler, and it is one that is just so enjoyable to watch. You don't have to worry too much about the plot. It is all about the cinematography and the incredible acting.
Question, do we need to have seen Dune Part 1 to understand any of it?
It's definitely recommended to watch Dune Part 1 to find out about the lay of the land. Also for world building, that is the crux of sci-fi. That's what makes it good. It's available to watch on Netflix, so definitely sink your teeth into that and then come back for Part 2. All over a weekend, because it's going to take you a fair few hours.
Okay. Finally, one from the archive from me, which is Borgen. I mentioned earlier, I love a political thriller. Don't mind a bit of foreign subtitle because Northern Europeans do this stuff so well. And I don't know if you remember, you may be too young, but there was a whole era of Nordic noir about a decade ago now. And it started with, well, arguably Wallander, but most definitely with The Killing. That was when Saturday nights became about BBC Four double bills. And we had The Killing, and then we had also had The Bridge at that time. There was a whole bunch of them. And the quality did start to sort of slightly disappear off the cliff. But we also had Borgen, which was, strangely, if I tell you, it was about the machinations of a Danish coalition government. It sounds somewhat dry. I'm here to tell you it wasn't. And you can go back and enjoy it all. Series 1 to 3 are on Netflix, and you will spot a big star in the making, Pilau Alsbeck. This was his great breakthrough role. And he then went on to be in Game of Thrones. So stars were made of this show. And the good news is, for those who haven't caught up, there is also now a fourth series,
yes,
which came back quite a few years later. I mean, 2022, this debuted. It's called Borgen, Power and Glory, and that is also on Netflix. So there are the three oldies and there's the newie as well. So go back and feast on Borgen.
Well, that's all from us this week. Until next Friday,
happy viewing!